Geeklings, what is going on? Welcome to the very first episode of We Speak Geek, a brand new podcast coming from FanFest.com. I am your host, Kevin Carey, and I am joined, as per usual going forward, by the ultra-radical Mackenzie McKillen. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
Good. So this is our podcast. This is a very real thing now.
Yes, very, very real.
Yeah, I don't know about you. You've said you've had some slight experience recording podcasts in the past.
Yeah, in the past, in the wee days when I was younger. So this is going to be a new adventure, but I'm looking forward to kicking things into high gear.
Absolutely. So why don't we just jump right into that? So let's hear a little bit about yourself, and let's give our origin stories, so to speak.
Sure. All right. You don't want to start? You want to save the best for last?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. Right. It was kind of like, let them get comfortable with you and then just kind of hit them with like my awesome.
Basically. Here we go with the giggles. So as Kevin mentioned in our super rad new intro, my name is Mackenzie Morrell, guilty as charged, resident interviewer at FanFest News. Once had dreams of becoming a high school English teacher by day and a stealthy FBI agent by night, but alas was ultimately wooed by the entertainment world. My background includes WWE and the Jerry Springer Show, a little bit of producing, writing, and just being an overall tech nerd, hashtag team iPhone. And here we are today, you know, talking about pop culture and just low-key fangirling inside every day of my life as a profession. I'm super stoked to be here and super stoked to hear more about Kevin.
Oh, no, the spotlight's on me.
Yeah,
I do want to ask about these dreams to be an FBI agent. Mm-hmm. Can we hear a little bit more about that? Are we talking like kind of like Chris Pratt in Parks and Rec, or
a little bit of both? I think I went through a phase where I was like, I'm going to be a police officer, and then I'm going to be an FBI agent, and I'm just going to be like solving these crazy crimes and be an English teacher. Who knew? I guess that's where that's where my creative aspect came in, and I think I steered towards journalism and creative writing because clearly my imagination just doesn't make sense.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, if I was ever to do the FBI thing, I've kind of wanted to do the Tommy Lee Jones from, you know, like The Fugitive. Mm-hmm. Like, man, took a Peter Pan off this here ledge.
I could totally see that.
Right? Just for the scarf game, really.
The scarf.
His scarf game is fantastic.
It's all about the scarves.
But outside of obsessing with Tommy Lee Jones' scarf game, I, too, went into the teaching profession early on, elementary for me, and it just kind of hit a bunch of dead ends with it, wasn't going the way I wanted it to go, and kind of had to re-navigate my career. I'm currently writing TV reviews and comic book write-ups for FanFest, been there for about 2 years, and just have an overall love for all things pop culture and, you know, finding this outlet to kind of let it out so people I spend time with can, you know, talk about other things.
Right. It's definitely a way to connect with everybody. And, you know, nerds are in.
Really are. It is a great time to be a nerd. Mm-hmm. And it just like for me, like I think it came about with, you know, starting to talk to people and you find that there's only so many times you can tell the people in your group that Tatiana Maslany is amazing in Orphan Black and how they're not realizing that. So you just have to go to the internet and scream at the internet. Like, please, someone just validate my thoughts.
The limit does not exist on the internet. You can just shout into the abyss forever.
You really can. And sometimes it does. It feels just like that, shouting into the abyss. And every so often you hear like that ripple echo. You're like, oh, there is somebody else there. Which is kind of how I feel about Twitter. I'm not very good at tweeting.
I love tweeting. I'm addicted.
I try, like, I'll throw things out there, but I don't have a large Twitter following.
But that's okay. Quality over quantity. Come on. We got this.
That's right. I'm building. I never know whether I should be hashtagging or not hashtagging. And it just kind of, it throws off my Twitter game a little bit.
We're going to have a discussion about Twitter, I think, in the future.
Please. I mean, we could dedicate a whole episode to teaching me about Twitter.
Done. It's on the docket.
That was easy. It was an easy sell.
Right?
It's like, oh, poor Kevin in technology.
Yes, we're going to help you out.
He's sweet.
He's so sweet.
So with the podcast, with We Speak Geek, we're looking to bring you guys a soul subject every week. Something new, something kind of relevant, maybe not so relevant, but just to get people talking. Mm-hmm. I think is the idea. We want to make this as interactive with you guys as it is for us. So we could talk about something that you could see completely different, and we want you to hit us back on the Twitters or the social medias just to give us your opinion. Your voice is really important to us, and we want to make this as interactive as possible, I would think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Even if you don't agree with us, if you hate us, you know, go ahead, tweet us. We want to hear all, you know, different perspectives and different views, and we want it to be an open forum for everybody to come and just be able to share in the geekdom.
Oh, absolutely. And then I get these, like, delusions of grandeur that we could have, like, mailbags, and you guys could send us stuff.
Yeah, mail time, come on. We got to make this happen, guys. Let's go.
Mail time would be amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm picturing, like, a talking mailbox, something out of, like, Mr. Rogers.
Or Blue's Clues.
Oh, yes. See, Blue's Clues was a little after me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a little older.
It's okay.
Like, I know Blue's Clues. Also, it's very difficult to say that.
Blue's Clues.
Yeah, can't do it. Okay. Now, what happened to him? I read he stopped doing it because he was going bald.
I think so. I thought he was arrested. Maybe I need to check my facts.
That was the urban legend. I heard that he was arrested, and then there was like,
oh no, he's bald. Know. He just didn't want to be on camera anymore.
which is amazing. I mean, because I'm coming as a person who went prematurely gray. I started going gray when I was 19. Mm. So like, and it wasn't until recently where it was like, oh, I've kind of grown into this gray hair, and it's. It dawns on you. It's like, it's because you've gotten older.
Yeah. You got to make it your own. You got to just rock that. I've got a scar on my head from some random infection that I had. And people say it gives me character. I'm like, no, there's a hole in my head. But they're like, nah, it looks like a little duck foot. And they think it gives me character. So we're just going to roll with it.
Everybody loves scars. It gives you street cred.
Yeah, I guess so. I'll be like, nah, I just kind of really like... crazy fight with like a raccoon. No, I'm okay. I'm not dying. I don't have rabies. We're good.
I find it interesting that raccoon was the first animal you chose. It wasn't a knife fight. It was kind of a fight with a raccoon. Oh man, it actually reminds. I had the scariest raccoon experience like 5 years ago.
Oh god.
The apartment complex I was living in. It was daylight too. I just got home from work and I had to throw the garbage out. So you go to the dumpster. So I get there and I lift the lid up, and half buried between the garbage bags is this raccoon. What? And we make direct eye contact. And like, I feel a piece of my soul leave. And he just starts to move his mouth like, nah, nah, nah. But no noise is coming out. And I freaked out. Like, I dropped the garbage bag. I was like, no, no.
Like, I'm keeping my soul today. Do not come near me.
it was traumatic. And, like, I love Rocket Raccoon. Like, me and him, I feel that we would be buddies. But this evil dumpster panda.
Dumpster panda. Love it. Yeah,
he was out to get me. I know he is. And I think he's out there still somewhere. Just waiting.
He might be listening to this podcast. You don't know.
Now I'm afraid. I'm checking to see where my cat is, see if he can protect me. He's about the size of a raccoon.
Yep, holding him ransom, and then he's going to be like, that one time.
Oh, God. Ransom notes from animals. See, why doesn't things like that happen? Mm.
No.
It would be so adorable with their little paw prints.
It would be cute, but unfortunately the world is not like that. We can dream, though. We could create that in our heads.
Dream big.
Dream big. Hashtag dream big.
that could be the title of the episode. Hashtag dream big.
There you go. See, we're nailing it right now. Like, people are just gonna love this.
Making connections. So I guess if we're gonna be talking about the episode, I guess we should introduce our topic for today.
Yes, we should.
Which is we're going to be discussing movie trailers. Mm-hmm. And whether or not they are giving away too much.
spoiler alert, they are.
I think they are. See, I think my problem is, on a personal level, I'm a trailer junkie.
You're one of those.
Like, I am. but I've adjusted recently, especially with, like, the Marvel movies, per se. Like, if Marvel releases a new trailer, I'm going to watch it 10 times, like, that day, and dissect it. And it wasn't until recently with, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, I was noticing, I think I'm hindering this for myself. It didn't take away my enjoyment of the movie, but I was anticipating things. I was like, oh, okay, because of the trailer, this is coming next. And then that's setting up this. But because I had watched the trailer so much, I was piecing together the way the movie was flowing unintentionally.
Mm-hmm. And you come in with your own expectations. You're like, this is how this is supposed to play out. And then, you know, you're watching it 5,000 million times, which is probably all the views that they're getting is you, Kevin.
It is. I actually have a special YouTube name. It's like Trailer Junkie 101.
Trailer Junkie. All of your views.
It's just nothing but trailers.
Nope.
Don't judge me by how many times I watched the 50 Shades of Grey one. What? No, we didn't.
I totally understand in that sense. I mean, I think that, you know, society, we've just really changed and we're not necessarily caring about spoilers. We kind of want to be able to piece together things. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but I kind of see where you're coming from. You're like, I need to be this trailer junkie and I want to be able to anticipate what's coming. But in the end, you're just ruining it for yourself.
Right. And it's just, you know, it's funny that you say spoilers. Are you anti-spoiler?
No, I don't think I am. I mean, there have been times where, in my own experience, I have been spoiled from show leaks or movies that, you know, have gotten, you know, prematurely released, or a scene has been, you know, dropped that wasn't supposed to. And I still will go, you know, see it, because I think it, like, from my perspective, is visually, it's going to be more satisfying than whatever I've concocted in my head, like, of the overall, you know, story or the spoiler that I read. So I'm not like, oh my God, you just spoiled, like, Game of Thrones for me, because I want to watch it anyways. I'm going to see it unfold.
Ooh, see, you say, when you use Game of Thrones as an example, though, I mean...
Well, wait. Let's preface this by saying that I've never watched Game of Thrones, so I used it loosely. What? In terms of... It's on my list. Don't throw stones.
Listen, I have a ton of shows that I would lose street cred over that I'm not willing to delve into in the first episode. Mm-mm. Firefly. but... I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
So I understand.
Okay, good.
But, I mean, on a personal level, if someone had spoiled
the Game of Thrones people are very, very passionate. I've been part of a lot of fandoms that are passionate. When you see a spoiler, it does ruin. It takes out, you know, takes away an element of, you know, surprise, of anticipation, of just the whole experience. And I understand that. But at the end of the, you know, day, I, you know, want to tune in because I do support the show. I do support the characters. I do support the movie, the franchise, whatever it is. So I just look at it in a different way, I guess. I'm not normal. Sorry.
I think the way you do it is a little more freeing. Because I wish I could be that relaxed or casual when it comes to spoilers. It's like, but if someone, like, it's not going to deter me from watching it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still going to watch the movie or the show. But it does kind of, like, hinder that enjoyment of experiencing it for the first time.
That's true. And I mean, ultimately, like, the real problem, I don't think it's the viewer. I think the problem is, you know, the studios. Like, are they just being reckless with these movie trailers? Is there a method to their madness? Like, I'd be curious to take a poll of these industry, you know, professionals or whatever, that, you know, get some concrete evidence of, you know, is this marketing a film, or is this you just blatantly not caring about...
I think a lot of it stems off of, with, especially if you go based off of the summer we just had cinematically, numbers seem to be kind of down across the board. Mm-hmm. So in order to get people into seats, you want to show them as much enticing things as possible, one would think.
Yes, but have you noticed that the trailers have become longer? I mean, some of them are pushing, like, 3 minutes. One, I don't have that long of an attention span. And two, you're giving me the whole movie, so why am I spending $14 to come see it?
Exactly. Exactly. Like I've been noticing this trend too lately. When they release a trailer online, have you noticed there's a 10-second trailer for the trailer?
Mm-hmm. They're like, ooh, watch the full trailer after you just saw the trailer. Like, what?
It's like the inception of trailers.
Trailer inception.
A trailer within a trailer.
Mm-hmm. Within a trailer.
And it's like, stop. Just show me the trailer. Give me 2 minutes tops. Make minimal dialogue. Visually stun me. And then get on out.
Mm-hmm. Hit and run.
I almost wish, because I have this problem with my Apple TV. Like, if I'm in one of those moods where I don't know what to watch, the Apple TV has a trailers, like, feature.
Yeah.
So I'll get into a trailer wormhole.
Mm-hmm.
And the next, you know, 40 minutes has gone by. I've watched all the trailers on Apple TV and some twice. And I'm like, I still don't know what to watch. But I almost wish that they came with a three time, like after three times, they Mission Impossible just like deteriorate.
it just goes away and you can never watch it again.
Exactly. So it's like, oh, I watched it three times. Unfortunately, I watched them three times in a row. So when the movie gets here, it's going to be kind of crisper in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But like I've actually worked a system for myself now is I'll watch the trailers, and as the movie gets closer, when it's about a month or month and a half away, I stay away from the trailers completely because I don't want to remind myself.
That's a good idea, because I feel like we have goldfish memory in terms of that. Like, we're like, ooh, I'm stunned, I can't wait for this. And then it's like, what happened again?
See, but I get excited, and then I'll start talking with people, and I'm one of those I retain the more I talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in our profession especially, you know, we deal with pop culture, and we deal a lot with trailers. So the more you talk about it, the harder it is to erase from your head.
That's true, because you're looking at it from a different perspective. You're kind of being more analytical, critical, all of the culls, and you're just going down the list. That's just
all of the culls is yep. My new favorite thing.
Yep, that's my try. And I definitely think that we kind of get in that sense of, like, I can't forget this because it's something that we're talking about, you know, constantly.
Right. I had the problem with It recently.
Mm-mm.
Because, I mean, that one worked well for me because I didn't want to overwatch the trailers because it already scared the bejesus out of me. So I figured like once or twice I was good. It wasn't like one of those ones I was going to watch over and over again.
Mm-mm. I won't even watch it once.
No, so you have, is it no interest or like an irrational fear of clowns?
I think since I've been watching American Horror Story Cult and the whole premise is, you know, based around clowns, I'm a little, like, shaken still. So I probably eventually will get to it, but I clowns, especially in that format, I don't think I can deal with that.
See, I watched the first episode of American Horror Story Cult,
mm-hmm.
and I dug it. I dug it a lot, but I haven't gotten back. And that's mostly my sister's fault because we binge things together. And it's like, oh, so you're coming over tonight? She's like, no, I'm tired. And then you're kind of like handcuffed. And next thing you know, you have like four episodes built up on your DVR.
Yep. And then you feel bad because you're like, if I watch this without you, then I'm going to like know what's going on. And then I'm going to spoil that I know. And then we're just going to have a fight.
Right. Well, that's the other thing about spoilers. Have you ever watched something ahead of... Have you show cheated and then pretended to watch it for the first time?
I have.
Monster.
Yes, I'm going to slip in this The 100 reference. My sister is a big fan of the show as well as I am, and I had gotten a glimpse of, you know, a spoiler, obviously, because I just can't help myself. And I knew that it was coming, and then I, you know, watched the episode because she's a teacher and she goes to the gym a lot, so, you know, priorities. And I went over to her house and we were watching, you know, the finale, and I knew what was going on. I had to put a pillow in front of my face because I was like, if I make any sort of indication that I know what's going on, she's going to, like, kill me. So I have show cheated. She wasn't too mad about it, but she was like, you know what's going to happen. You suck. And I was like, okay, sorry.
Do you want to not watch together? Like, no.
Nope. So guilty. Sorry again.
I was close. I was really close to show cheating recently.
Oh, you should have. It feels great.
I even got the green light to show cheat, and I chose not to.
What?
We were, yeah, my girlfriend and I were watching American Vandal on Netflix.
Okay, yeah.
And just sidebar, so creatively fantastic, that show. I was disappointed that it wasn't a real story at some point, because it just hooked me.
Mm-hmm.
But we had watched like 4 episodes in a row, and we finished the episode before the season finale, and she fell asleep right at the end.
Oh, no.
So there was 1 episode left. Oh. And she woke up, she's like, you could watch it. And I was so tempted. And ultimately I decided no. I was like, no, I'll wait for you tomorrow. I did. But I mean, the temptation was there. And it just, I don't know, there's just something about it that feels, I mean, it's like, I don't know. Do you come back from show cheating?
You do. I think you do. It depends on who you cheat with.
And how forgiving they are.
Yes. It depends on the person, the show, and the act of the cheating. If it was like something really monumental, or if it was something just a little minuscule and you're like, okay, that's not, you know, like a main character gets brutally, you know, mutilated, then I think it's okay.
Brutally mute. What shows are you watching? You gotta send me a list.
The 100.
See, now, all right, I watched 6 episodes, maybe 7 of the first season of The 100.
You gotta keep going. It's a learning curve. I mean, it starts out a little teen angsty, and then, you know, by season 2 and 3, you're like, holy crap, what am I watching?
See, that's the thing, because around season 2 and 3, Stephen King was tweeting about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take a recommendation from Stephen King any day of the week.
Oh, my, he's not going, good enough? What's up with that?
Oh, no, absolutely. Well, you know, my relationship with Uncle Stevie existed before we were talking about The 100.
All right.
So now you're validating Stephen King. What a great role.
Right? I have to put that on my resume.
Stephen King validator.
Mm-hmm.
But I dug it. I just, for whatever reason, I didn't stick with it. I got distracted or something. Something shiny came across. But, you know, I like post-apocalyptic, you know, teenage Lord of the Flies things. Mm-hmm. Did I describe that well?
Yeah, I think you did. I definitely think you hit it on the head. And we will make you a fan by the end of this, you know, season 1 of this podcast. Don't you worry.
I'm in. I got homework for you already lined up. I've been taking notes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Be alarmed.
I am very alarmed.
But I think if, going back to the trailer, if we could pitch somehow to get that Mission Impossible type trailer that it expires, I think it would solve a lot of our problems.
We should definitely write the networks and the what am I trying to say? The the yeah, studios, the people that make the magical trailers. My those brain elves. Is in like,
the elves in the back who edited. Well, see, that's the other thing with the editing of trailers. Have you noticed that a lot of trailers now have been filming scenes just for trailers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's like trailer cheating. I feel like you're specifically filming something for a trailer and watch it's like not even in the movie. That would be the best twist. This is not that, part of the film.
That irritates me, though. Because, I mean, I think it irritates me more on a personal level because it's like, but I watched this trailer 100 times, and I was really excited to see how this turned out. And now it's not even in the movie?
Mm-mm. They had to kill their babies.
Yeah, I feel betrayed sometimes.
I think the kind of solution to everything is kind of the film directors being present for these, because I feel like the marketing team is looking at it in a completely different way. And, you know, the film director is going to stay true to what, you know, they want to see in the final product. So that's my suggestion to the studios. Get the film director in there. Gosh, pay them some monies.
Yeah, artistic integrity, mm-hmm. Please.
Is that doesn't exist. Who am I kidding?
Oh, that just made me so, like, sad and hollow inside.
You need a Tim Tam.
Well, I just need to catch my breath for a minute.
Get the oxygen tank. Kevin needs a break. Oh, I'm rhyming.
Oh, no. I didn't know we were going to be unintentionally rhyming today.
Mm-hmm. It's happening.
I gotta work on this note. Clearly my career at Slam Poetry fell through early.
Mm-hmm, it did.
Damn it. You've won today.
I will win every day.
challenge accepted.
Oh, snap. Those are fighting words. Oh!
That's what it's going to turn into. It's not going to turn into like a pop culture podcast. It's going to be Mackenzie and Kevin do verbal battle.
Yep, Kevin versus Mackenzie. I think it's... Oh, Kevin versus Kenzie. There you go. Nailed it.
Oh, I love it.
Boom.
We have t-shirts made up and like mm-hmm. You know, freestyling like battles.
Mm-hmm. I got this.
Get mom's spaghetti. It makes me think of the Chappelle show. Jokes and jokes and jokes.
I love the Chappelle show.
Oh, I'm so happy he is back.
We all are happy.
Did you see Netflix just released the Def Comedy Jam 25 years?
No, I didn't.
Oh, God, they got everybody on there. There's Chappelle, Hart. So Bill Bellamy, I'm really excited for that. But from an HBO standpoint, they got to be pissed.
Probably.
Def Comedy Jam was HBO's baby. How does that end up on Netflix?
Netflix owns everything. That is the.
Apparently, I mean, I'm not mad about it. They gave me Stranger Things, so they get a pass.
Yes, Netflix gives us all the good things, so we love them.
Praise be to Netflix.
Praise be.
So, wrapping up our first episode, we had discussed we wanted to end every episode with kind of a pop culture suggestion. A popple, if you will.
Popple.
Pop. Where we just give you something to either watch, read, view, whatever.
Ponder.
Ponder. Very deep. I was just thinking more of like, go enjoy this. I didn't think ponder. Man, stop winning so much.
Sorry.
Raising the bar.
Yep. Super high.
Well, actually, you know what, though? So, my popple will work in to pondering. So, unintentional kermuffins.
Ooh.
My first popple would be the third season of Rick and Morty that just completed. Unless you haven't watched any Rick and Morty, then I would say all of Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm. I've been watching clips of Rick and Morty, so I think this is my homework.
Oh yeah, that was one of the things I was going to assign to you. Yeah, I am so obsessed and deeply sad that the season wrapped last night. Because there's no clear timetable of when it would be back. So the gap between 2 and 3 was a year and a half. So hoping you don't have to go through that again.
No.
But if you get a chance, be sure to check out Rick and Morty. It is on a surface level funny because of, like, you know, the fart jokes and whatever. But it's a very smart show that tries to hide itself by being a dumb show. And it's layered and it's deeply philosophical and emotional. And I feel that we're in a different age of animation now where the stories that are being told are not only poignant but important. And are tackling some, you know, like, real issues, you know, between Rick and Morty and shows like BoJack Horseman. Mm-hmm. I think we're in a golden age of, you know, taking value out of our animation, and Rick and Morty should be at the top of all of your lists.
It is certainly at the top of mine. And mm-hmm. How should I follow that? I guess I'll stay with the theme of recommending some kick-ass shows. I'm going to recommend for my popple, Glow, a.k.a. Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling on Netflix. We're bringing it back. Woo-woo! Mm-hmm. Binge your heart out. You know, as someone who grew up watching wrestling, has, you know, interned at WWE, has a mother who works for the company, I can honestly say that this show is definitely worth a look. It's funny. It's dramatic. It's nostalgic. It's just really smart writing and really good acting, actually. You know, in the words of the first, pretending to be Buffy, what more could you want?
Oh, very nice.
Woo!
Stuck the landing on that. And Glow has been on my list. I'm a big Marc Maron fan, and I love Alison Brie since Community.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's a good one. Actually, funny that you say wrestling, because Monday Night Raw is on in the background of my TV right now.
Oh, snap. Inception.
Yeah. Inception. We're just melting faces all over the place.
We are. Don't come for us.
Yeah, please don't. Please. I'm fragile emotionally. But I don't know. I feel pretty good. I'm really looking forward to spending some time with you guys and getting to you getting to know us getting to know you, just like a whole knowing festival all around.
Yep, we are going to be chatting. We're going to be taking questions, maybe do a live podcast. We've got big plans, and we hope you'll come along for the ride.
Absolutely. So this has been fun. You feel good?
I feel very good. How you feeling?
Excellent. I feel really good. I think this kind of went kind of well, knock on wood.
We just skyrocketed. Woo!
What?
Fireworks. Pew!
Oh, nice. You're going to have to end every episode with fireworks now.
I will. I'll practice my mouth skills. Oh, that's just... we're going to end here.
If there ever was a good point to close, I think that's it.
Thank you
so much for joining us. We will see you in a week. And if you guys want to keep chatting with us a little more, because why wouldn't you? We do have those Twitter handles. You can find me at IamGeek32.
And you can find me at Mackenzie Lynn.
And the show has a Twitter handle of its own. What? How crazy is that? What is the exact spelling for that, Mackenzie?
Sure. It is at WESPKGEEK. Boom.
I think that stands for We Speak Geek, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
See what I did there? I put it all together. It was like a puzzle.
Oh, you are so clever.
No, you got me blushing, you. All right, guys. We will see you next week for We Speak Geek. I'm Kevin Carey.
And I'm Mackenzie Morrell. Goodbye.
Bye.